Morning, family. How are we doing today? Wait a minute. I said good morning, family. How? I hope we're doing good. We're all here, alive, healthy, in the house of God, about to learn some more about him. Right? Again, my name's Danny. I'm here to preach on behalf of Pastor John. A little nervous again. So let's get the nerves out. I want everyone to stand up really quick. Everybody stand up. Let me get the room lively. Everyone shake it off. Whatever's happened this week, you're here at church today, I want you to shake. Come on, shake. Shake. There it is. I see people waving at me from the top. You can have a seat now. Just wanted to get you guys up a little bit. Get involved, right? Like I said last time when I was up here and preached, it was about a couple months ago. I like to get interaction. I like to hear you guys say an amen. I like to hear you guys put a fist up. Do something. but I want you guys to be up and alive for this message. Today's message is entitled The Gift of Life. As we've been kind of going through what Pastor's been preaching about, I remember him talking about the vine and the branches. And so I wanted to kind of bring this message in and tie it into all that as well, because last time I was here, I spoke about the first chapter of Ephesians, and I want to talk about the second chapter of Ephesians this time, where Paul continues to speak about life. And he speaks about getting maximum life with Christ, right? Which in essence, I believe, is the ultimate gift that we've gotten. And it should bring us all to joy and excitement, this gift. Because it brings life to us, not to us physically, but to our soul for what's been done for us. And that ultimately is the most important thing on this earth. The entire time we spend here, we can acquire wealth, we can acquire fame, we can acquire whatever it is, but if your soul is empty and it doesn't have life that's only been given by Christ, then it's all pointless. You're going to end up in one place and one place alone, and we know where that is, and that's eternal damnation. So the fact that Paul talks about this in chapter 2 is, I'm excited. I'm sorry. I'm super excited because the older I get, my fiance now, not, I was going to say my girlfriend, but my fiance, every time I talk about Christ, every time I talk about God, there's this passion that comes out because I truly believe that it's such a beautiful thing that's been done for us. The death and resurrection of Christ, and the forgiveness of our sins, and us being able to just sit here as a family and speak about this and be able to encourage each other about this, it's a beautiful thing. Amen. There we go. Amen. I love it. It really is. And this gift that's been given to us should bring us to excitement. I hear certain people, certain Christians that I've heard that are dealing with certain things, right? But they're not happy. And don't get me wrong, there's circumstances that might take away that joy, but our souls inside and knowing what's been done for us, that joy should never be taken away from us. Right? Because Christ did that on the cross, and that should just bring us, no matter what we go through in life, right now I'm dealing with, I think everyone here in this room, right? As long as we live on earth, we will always be dealing with some sort of situation. Right? We're not free of that. Christ didn't die on the cross to free us completely of everything that goes on in here. We all have to deal with rent, mortgages, spouses, family. Family's a big one, right? Right? We deal with all that. So all that always comes and creates circumstances in our life, but our souls should never be sorry. Should never feel bad. I'm sorry. Should never, there you go. Should never feel sad is the word I was looking for. It should always be happy and rejoicing in what's been done for us. So let's just get right into it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. I don't talk a lot, so I'll probably be done in the next like 10 minutes. Amen. As we see the title of the actual verses we're about to read, it says, made alive in Christ. So let me start reading. And it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the powers of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too are formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And as the rest, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together. With Christ, by grace, you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to pause really quick. Did you guys get that? Formerly, we were dead in sin. We were living to the lust of our flesh. We wanted to do everything that indulged us, made us happy, right? But what did God do? He realized in this big plan that none of that was ever going to bring us true happiness, true joy. None of that was ever going to satisfy the need and desire that we had in our soul for something bigger, for a happiness, a joy, an excitement. It was never going to be satisfied with everything that this world offered. So what does Paul say? Paul says God, in his great knowing and power, realized, hey, listen, you guys aren't going to get it. If you think buying a house, buying a car, living a certain lifestyle is going to find you happiness, is going to give you eternal life, it's not there. So let me give you the real reason that's going to save your soul. Let me give you Christ. Let me have him die on that cross for you. Let me have him forgive everything that you've ever done and will continue to do and give you peace and joy, real peace and joy. Amen? And see, that should bring us to excitement. See, we all got kind of quiet right now. Shouldn't we all be jumping for joy, feeling like, man, all right, let's do this, right? Yeah. Yes? See, he came to restore us with a gift of life.
Life.
We were all dead before that. His word tells us, Paul tells us here. He's obviously speaking to the church of the Ephesians, right? He's telling them, you guys are all dead. We were all dead before we came to Christ. We really were. And this is a beautiful thing that God has done with his mercies and his grace, just being able to bless us with this. And every day you wake up, you should be excited. Excited that it's another opportunity for you to understand that again in your life and be able to share that. Right? I mean, you weren't given this great news so that you could bottle up, go to bed, and eventually die someday and just keep it to you. This is something that's supposed to be given to everybody, because not only were the Ephesians affected by this, not only were they dead, not only were you dead, but the rest of the world is dead if they don't know Christ. Correct?
Amen.
Let's continue reading. So it says, so that in the ages to come, he might show us surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, amen, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would work in them. I'm going to stop there really quick, because this is very important as to what Paul's saying here. I especially like the part, by grace, you've been saved through faith, that is, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Paul once again says it. There's nothing you could have done to have saved you. This is a gift that God created and gave to you. He gave to all of us. And it's beautiful, isn't it? It's what's brought us here. It's what's made you guys my family. It's what's made the Spanish congregation my family and anyone else that's at church preaching Christ. If it's something else, then I don't know. I can't really relate. But see, this is a beautiful gift. A beautiful gift. We're going to finish it off. So we go to the next part and it says, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, so by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barriers of the dividing walls. Back in that time, obviously, there's a circumcision. There's non-circumcised people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the heart. But what God did here is he completely destroyed all that. What Christ did on that cross completely got rid of Israelite, got rid of, you know, peasants, whatever it was back then. He got rid of all of that and said, listen, you abide in me, believe in my son who died for you, and none of this matters. I will accept you with open arms, and you are now my son, my daughter. I will now call you mine. And doesn't that bring joy? You guys are children of God. Amen? Amen? That's a beautiful thing. All-knowing, all-powerful, all-everything. And he calls you daughter and son. Grab some water really quick. At times, this joy gets stripped away because we overthink Christianity, do we not? We create too many different rules, regulations that we have to follow when all we really have to do is believe in Christ. I mean, by him dying on that cross, was not everything accomplished right there and then? There's nothing else that I can add to that. What can I add to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ by me acting better? Nothing. God alone established that. Right? So we get into these funks. It's a Christian funks. And I think we've all been there. I think we've all done it. Where we have to follow, cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and try to create this life that we have to live. And then at the end of it, we get frustrated because things just aren't going well. We're not growing spiritually. We're not. But yet, all you're really supposed to do is trust in God. He's already established everything. What else is there to do? See, as I read certain verses like Matthew, what was it? Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It talks about the yoke. Christ is talking to the people and he says, carry my yoke for it's light. The burden's not heavy, he says. And it's true. It's not heavy because he's done it all. We've got verses like John 10:10 where we talk about the good shepherd, right? The thief comes in to destroy and kill and take everything, but yet God came to give us life. So his burden isn't heavy. It's easy. It's light. We overcomplicate it. And we have to see the beauty in that. And we have to see how beautiful this life that he's given us, it's been to restore our souls. And that's what he came to do. And that's the end of my message. So, if I can have everyone bow their heads really quick. It was not long-winded. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, life has been given by you. You came to restore us. You came to get us out of this funk that we were in. And you came to rescue our souls, Father. Let us see that every single day of our lives, because it's important for us to remind ourselves daily that you care for us this way. That you accomplished everything by sending your son to die on the cross for us. And there's nothing else that can be added or taken away from it. There's nothing in our strength that we could do that will further our salvation, because our salvation is already given to us. Help us, Father. Help us see you more daily. Help us rejoice in you more daily. And live this life that you called us out to live. I thank you. In Jesus' name we praise and love you. Amen.